Yo, let's get this thing started.
Public Yemeni number one.
In the spirit of technical difficulties, in the spirit of technical difficulties, I almost spilled this Bang energy drink on my computer, but it wasn't open yet. Ha ha ha. Could have completely screwed that up. Could have fucked that podcast up for everybody. For everybody. How's everybody doing? Hope y'all are doing great. Hope y'all are healthy, happy, well-fed, well-fucked. Well-fucked in the sex sense, not well-fucked in the gas is at $5.50 in Beverly Hills. I think it's like $7 out there. LA's a fucking weird place, man. Jason Bacon says, a singer you are not, sir. Oh, fuck you. Yeah, I don't ever sing. I can't sing. So, in the spirit of, like, not being good at something, let's cut to the president.
Let me be clear. If you're in a state where hurricanes often strike, like Florida or the Gulf Coast or into Texas, a vital part of preparing for hurricane season is to get vaccinated now.
They're really pushing that vaccine, aren't they? They're pushing that shit hard, man. That it's going to save you from a hurricane. You guys believe that? It's going to save you from a hurricane? One more time. I just want to...
Let me be clear. Yeah. If you're in a state where hurricanes often strike, like Florida or the Gulf Coast or into Texas, a vital part of preparing for hurricane season is to get vaccinated now.
Okay. Let's just play devil's advocate. Jason Bacon asks, can I get vaccinated from weather? You know what, man? Like, there's a lot of people that, like, hate Biden. They bring that up, and I don't know. Like, you know, guy, I don't know if you know me, man. I like to play both sides of the coin and try to get myself to think through that. You know, a part of me is like, you know, he said that. But did he mean that? I don't think so. I don't know if that was a gaffe. I think everyone's, like, really, really ready to jump on Biden for fucking up things that he says, because that's all he's good at. You know, it's one thing that he's been consistent his entire political career is just saying dumb shit. And I think what he's trying to say here is, hey, hurricane season is coming, you know, much like the winter. You know, the situation is probably going to be bad there. It'll probably be best if you were vaccinated, since hurricane season is coming. Best be vaccinated, because the hospitals are probably going to be filled up. People are going to be, you know, there's going to be a lot of emergencies going on. And if you're dying of COVID, the idea is, you might want to get vaccinated so that you don't have to need to go to the hospital. That's my devil's advocate play of that. I really think that's what it is. I can't just buy into all the hate of Biden, you know? He's a fucking idiot, don't get me wrong, but I think sometimes we got to stay on our toes to make sure that we're not like just allowing our prejudice to be played against us. Because when I watch this.
Let me be clear. If you're in a state where hurricanes often strike, like Florida or the Gulf Coast or into Texas, a vital part of preparing for hurricane season is to get vaccinated now.
So that's just a clip that was just being passed around. I'm going to be honest. I haven't even watched the whole thing. So, you know, but I, you know, to play devil's advocate, to play the guy who's like, man, I can't stand Biden. I wish this video was true. I can't help but just go, you know, I don't think that's what he meant. I think what he meant was hurricane season puts a toll on your state and your city, and it's best for you to get vaccinated so that you don't have to rely on going to the hospital, that it'll reduce your chance of needing to go to the hospital at a time when hospitals will be overtaxed. I would think that's what he's saying. Balti says, my girlfriend in Germany going in for her third shot in a month. Booster time over there already. Yeah. What do you guys think about the vaccine? You know, you guys that are like listening in, let me know. Like, you know, are you vaccinated? Are you not? Do you think that it's a good idea to vaccinate? I mean, for me, I think, you know, so far the data out there is saying that, yeah, it's a very good thing to get vaccinated. Am I pro-vaccine? I don't know if I'm really pro-vaccine, but I am get the vaccine, you know? You know, to be pro-vaccines, to be like, oh, I believe in everything about the vaccine. No, I'm always staying skeptical because there's a lot of bullshit that's going on. You know, there's a lot of money to be made. I mean, I think it's very much kind of like why the military industry is the way it is and why the politicians keep pushing for wars where, you know, deep down, they don't really want to do those wars. So to me, it's like, it's just a money grab when it comes to it. But at the same time, it's good. You know, I think if you think that you should get it done, you should get it done. But then I'm also pro freedom. So to me, it's like, yo, why aren't we just getting vaccinated if we want to and then not worrying about other people? Howard Stern calling for the death of Joe Rogan because he got COVID and, like, you know, took ivermectin, and people calling it horse tranquilizers or a horse dewormer when in actuality it was bullshit news from the mainstream media just to vilify him, that you could also use it on horses, but you could also use it on humans and have been for so long used on humans. And the creator of ivermectin won a Nobel Peace Prize. Not that that means anything, because Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize. Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize, bro. Obama, the guy who bombed everything. Obama, the guy who's like the first president to run out of bombs. Obama, the guy who has bomb in his name. So, you know, yeah, sure. Like the Nobel Peace Prize don't mean shit. But you would think it's something that the mainstream media would at least bring up. Nope, it's just horse dewormer. But anyways, I think get it. Get the vaccine. Data shows the majority of people that are being hospitalized right now are not vaccinated. Get it. Why not? I got the Johnson & Johnson shot. The VA pushing it pretty hard. You got the Johnson & Johnson shots. So you dead, bro. I heard that one gives a lot of people a lot of problems and shit. Didn't they discontinue that? Jason Bacon says, some things should not be public knowledge. I don't know what you mean by that, bro. All right, well, anyways, I kind of want to talk about this week. this week. So, this is not one of those podcasts where I'm going to be like coming at you with a whole bunch of stuff. Like, hey, man, I'm pissed off at this, and hey, let's look at that, and his week has been pretty slow in terms of me ingesting information around the world. And not only that, I've been inside most of the time. Usually I'm out at the clubs and doing all kinds of stuff, but been having to get a lot of things in my life in order, you know, catching up on work, you know, stuff that I have to keep putting down the to-do list because other things come up out of nowhere that all of a sudden it's like, damn, that's the priority now. I'm catching up on the podcast uploads now. So if you're following me on Apple Podcasts and on Stitcher, now I'm on Stitcher. Finally got it to work on Stitcher. Anywhere you get your podcasts, definitely subscribe. Right now, those backlog of episodes are coming in fast, especially the solo podcast. I'm getting them out there really fast because I want the solo podcast to be up to date. You know, so then when I drop this on Wednesday, Thursday, the audio version will be out too. Just been working on shit like that, man. Been writing a movie now for the past 3 months with my friend Mike Pattaya, hilarious comedian. You know, been in all kinds of movies out here in Hollywood, like Don't Mess with the Zohan. I mean, he was in Breaking Bad. I mean, this guy is a mover and a shaker, man. So me and him have been sitting down for 2 hours at a time on Zoom because he's back in Michigan. And we've been sitting down consistently at least 3 times a week working on this screenplay. We have already finished the first draft, and now we're doing the second pass. And it's pretty exciting. You know, this is my first time actually writing with a writing partner. I've been wanting to find a writing partner for a really long time. That hasn't happened. And lo and behold, the whole time I should have been writing with Mike Pattaya. And I'm glad I'm doing it, man, because we make a good team. And we show up and we're consistent, which is great. He you know, I mean, if things work out well, he just might be, you know, my go-to writing partner now. And I need someone who's really interested in making it in this business, you know, and making moves. So that's exciting, writing this movie with him. We're halfway through the second draft right now, and it's coming together pretty nicely. I think it's going to get to a point where I'm going to probably try to pass it around to some friends and then even hire some screenwriters to, you know, pay them to go over and give us notes. And hopefully we can do something with this movie. Another really cool thing that's been happening this week is, I don't know if you guys know my web series, The Ed and Mo Show. So I created that 10 years ago, and we basically predicted Postmates. We predicted the idea of a company that you can hire and they will get whatever it is that you need them to get. The idea 10, 12 years ago was like absurd. Like, oh, that's hilarious. But honestly, I remember when me and Mike McGettigan were writing the idea for Ed and Mo's show, you know, we were battering around the idea, and I told him, I'm like, I could see this happening. I could see us getting to a point where it's just like, you know, people are just getting stuff delivered to them. I never looked at it as like it would have been in an app. You know, that's not something that we predicted, but you know, I just had this idea that like people are inherently going to get more and more lazy, and they're going to want to have stuff delivered to them, everything, not just pizzas. So we came up with this idea, these two idiots that hail from Dearborn, Michigan. One is a lovable, oafish Lebanese immigrant. And his business partner, a white American kid who acts like he's Arab and only dates Arab Muslim women from the most strictest of families. You would call him a wayrab, a white guy acting Arab. And these two characters we created, you know, created a business called We Get It, where you call them up and they get it. So we did a first season. And it was great. I did the majority of the heavy lifting of the show, from scheduling the shoots to the auditions to shooting it, directing it, co-directing with Mike, but like really in it with the cameras, editing all that footage, music design, sound design, color correction. Like, I put a lot of work into those episodes, and I did it the majority of the work by myself, especially the post-production, completely by myself, with the exception of some help from Hazem, who really hooked me up with some 3D graphics. But the point is that I really busted my ass on that show. It ended up getting me work in real reality shows. You know, the whole time I created Ed and Mo Show, I thought I was studying reality shows so that I could learn how to fake a reality show. And then when I got work on a real reality show, I found out everything I was doing on my fake reality show is what they do on real reality shows. I was blown away, man. I was like, this whole time I was trying to like study realities and be like, well, obviously this is how they would do it, but then I have to try to make it look like that. And then I find out, man, most reality shows are that. They just go, hey, let's just try this scene out, guys. Here's an idea. Let's do this and act like it's real. But yeah, so the real exciting thing is that I got a call from a producer. So I don't want to give too much out of this because right now it could be nothing. But got a call from a producer who wants to fund 12 episodes of a new season. We're not in actual real talks in terms of like the nitty gritty, like how long the episodes would be, so on and so forth, where would we try to sell it to. And but he wanted me to write a one page, which is basically a summary of what the new season will be. And that's what I've been really working on. On top of that, still going, doing some comedy shows, trying to do some comedy writing, handling my real estate business, a lot of other things that I'm having to do. So this week I've been really inside. It's crazy. I've been sitting inside writing the second season for Ed and Mo. And this idea that I have could even be other characters, really. It doesn't have to be. And it's interesting. Like, I'm back. It feels good, you know? Like, I'm, like, sort of back in that idea of making a TV show. I'm back in that feeling of, like, drawing up characters and writing and pitching the ideas to other comics to see if it entices them. Does it make them go, ooh, that's a nice idea? And it's interesting. Nah, Jason, don't spread the news, please. That's not something I want to do right now. Jason says, man, I want to clip that and spread the news. Don't. I'm just sharing this with you guys as sort of just like me having something to talk about, because I didn't prepare shit for this show, bro. I didn't prepare shit. I literally was just all this week handling all my other things, including this now new priority of getting this one page completed. And I took a real slow approach to it because I was just juggling so many things. So it took me a month to get this idea to a point where it's good. And I written it down. It's about 2 pages. It's a very simple summary of what the first episode would be and what we can see happening with these guys going forward. It's really exciting. I like the storyline right now. And we'll see. We'll see where it goes, you know. Will Mike and Ollie come too? Well, yeah, I hope so. I hope we can get the whole old crew back, you know. Because I would like to, right now, you know, also shopping for a lawyer to make sure that I get myself situated, because, you know, I want to be attached to as an executive producer, and it'd be really nice to get like Mike McGettigan on as a writer, and we can like start batting around ideas. I also got an idea of bringing some other people that are writers on to the team, if the funding allows it, to really punch these up and make them really funny. Hard comedy is what I'm trying to go for with this one. And I'm really looking forward to it. But that's what I've been writing. I've been doing that. And then also writing this movie with Mike Pattaya. And then I'm also batting around an idea of another show with Dante Chang. Now, we sat down and talked about it. You should look up Dante Chang. He is, man, He's hilarious. Like, if you watch Ed and Mo Show, like I said, I'm going to pitch it again to anybody's listening. EdandMoShow.com. Check it out. It's stupid funny. Ollie, who plays Mo, is such a lovable, hilarious character, right? Like, he reminds me of the type of characters that they had in those 70s sitcoms. I know I'm going back for some of you people, but if you look back in the 1970s, late 70s, early 80s, a lot of the sitcoms were great. A lot of the sitcoms were just, they had characters on that show, the people who played these characters, who were just naturally funny. They were just funny when you looked at them, like Sanford and Son. You know, stand-up comedian Red Fox ended up having a sitcom called Sanford and Son, where him and his son Lamont run a junkyard in California. And hilarious. And Red Fox, who plays Fred Sanford, just perfect. Like, when you watch him, he's so funny. Like, he's instantly hilarious when you see him. Or All in the Family, where they'll never be able to make this show again, which was basically a show about a grumpy, racist white man. And his family, his kids are like hardcore liberals, and they hate him for it. You know, and it's very groundbreaking. But the guy who played Archie Bunker, perfect. So perfect. Everything about the way he was so funny. The Jeffersons, you know, Sherman Hemsley, who played George Jefferson. Hilarious. Perfect for that role. Everything he does, the way he stands, the way he walks, the way he dances, he doesn't even need to say a word. You look at him and it's funny. That's how I think Ollie is, you know. And Dante Chang is another one, man. I really do like Dante. Dante is a fucking hilarious comedian. You should definitely look him up, man. So I'm thinking about right now, I haven't written it, but I'm thinking about as soon as I finish this one page, I'm going to write a one page for that. And I kind of got a decent idea that I pitched to Dante, and it seems kind of interesting to him. And I think once I start writing it out, it'd be really nice to secure funding to do that too. Because, I think we really need to get back to like funny ass hard comedy, you know? I'm not saying that there are still not many good comedies, but there are comedies right now that are coming out where I myself as a comedian is kind of like, man, is that a comedy? Is it really that funny? You know, or is it just like a lighthearted, seemingly funny drama? So I don't know. So I'm excited about that. We shall see where any of this fucking goes. I wanted to catch you guys up on my sleep, man, because I don't know if you guys heard some of the previous solo podcasts. I've been struggling with my sleep recently, and it's not fun, you know. The long story short is I got a bulged disc in my neck that's now pushing a nerve into a bone spur in my neck. And if I sleep, man, some nights, man, I just get this shooting pain down my arm, and it's completely fucking up my sleep. I've been telling everybody that this supplement cocktail that I learned from listening to the Huberman podcast. Andrew Huberman is a professor, and he has a podcast that's just full of information. And these supplements have been helping me. Even though I'm waking up maybe on really bad nights 2-3 times a night from the shooting pains in my arm, I've noticed that taking those supplements have shut my brain down enough for me to actually get some type of sleep in between those moments of having to wake up. Still, some days were rough, man. Just rough, but I could just tell even from my sleep app on my app, I have a sleeping app that like I put on my bed and it tracks my movements and it lets me know when I was sleeping and when I was fidgeting and so on and so forth. Slight improvement just from taking these three supplements. Now I'm starting to find out that I need to sleep on my back, man. Sleeping on my side is pinching that nerve. I'm a side sleeper. And now I got to try to train myself to sleep on my back like I'm a fucking mummy or a vampire. And yeah, but I also found out don't take melatonin. I don't know if you guys know this, but melatonin makes your balls shrink. Think about that for a second as I take a sip of my energy drink. Melatonin may shrink your fucking balls. Nope. I'm done with that shit. And apparently the amount of melatonin that we're taking in some of these supplements are way too high of a dose. That it's really hijacking our systems and making us too dependent on that. So what I have been doing, and hopefully this helps anybody, this is the routine that I've been doing. And this is according to a lot of what I've heard on the Huberman podcast. In the morning, I go for a walk as soon as I wake up. And the real reason for that is you want to have what's called optical flow or ocular flow, meaning as soon as you wake up, to increase your focus, you're going to want to have images passing your eyes to stimulate your brain waking up and getting ready to focus. I guess it's just an ancient little hardwiring that humans have had of, you know, every day waking up and constantly moving. I guess that was just, it's a way to wind up your brain. So I get up and I go for a walk. Not only that, and this has also been helping, I've noticed. It helps with my focus during the day. And not only that, the sooner you get sunlight or UV light or blue, quote unquote, blue light into your eyes, the sooner, the better you'll sleep at night. Because apparently the sooner you wake up and you step outside and make sure that sun actually hits you and bounces into your eyes, it starts the clock. So that by the time the sun starts going down, your own melatonin production should start kickstarting. Now, I don't go to sleep till really late. So now I got these blue blocking glasses that I bought off of Amazon. They're like $6. They look ugly as fuck, bro. They literally look like, they just look like those type of goggles that you buy. They're eye protecting. They protect your eyes, but then they're like shaped like Oakley's kind of, and then they just got that orange tint on it, so it just blocks anything that's blue. So at nighttime, man, sometimes I'll be sitting down and I'll watch TV to unwind, and now I'll wear those. But first, what I'll do is I have those lights, that I got off Amazon, and I can tell Alexa to change them to a red color. And that's also another thing. So towards the end of the night, as I'm coming home, I make sure that those lights are dimmed red, sometimes yellow, depending. And I find that sort of like kickstarts my body into starting to get ready to go to sleep. And then watching TV or movies with the blue blocking glasses makes it terrible because you're not seeing the full color spectrum of what you're watching. But I found I quickly get over it, you know, especially if I'm going to be watching something that late, or even if I'm in front of the computer doing something, I'll try to wear those glasses. And then I'll take those three supplements, the magnesium threonate, apigenin, and L-theanine. And I found this article here. I'm trying to pull it up. So it says here, sleeping issues are sometimes treated with sleep aids, supplements, or prescription medications. One of the most frequently used sleep aids is melatonin. Despite its side effects, one of the most alarming side effects is puberty suppression. Our bodies naturally produce melatonin, and the melatonin system is closely linked with the GABA inhibitory neurons in the hypothalamus. I don't know any what the fuck that means. Additionally, the melatonin rhythms of young children are not as phasic. Melatonin has also strong effects on sex hormones like estrogen and testosterone. Experiments have shown that if you inject Siberian hamsters with melatonin, or you put them into short days, increasing the amount of darkness and decreasing the amount of light, their testicles shrink in size. In females of the same species, they leave estrus. They stop cycling, and they don't have menstrual cycles. Now, this article also starts saying examples of sleep supplements include magnesium threonate, magnesium biglycinate, which are transportable across the blood-brain barrier. So 200 to 400 milligrams, about 30 minutes before sleep, can be a powerful sleep aid. A dose of 200 to 400 milligrams of theanine can also create a kind of hypogic state that can help you fall asleep by turning off your thoughts. People who suffer from sleepwalking should be worried about taking theanine. Epigenin is derived from chamomile, but it acts as a chloride channel agonist, so it essentially helps shut down the forebrain of hyperpolarizing neurons. So basically, this cocktail of supplements that I've been taking are doing exactly what that article is saying. It's shutting down that part of my brain where even though this tingling pain is going on, I don't wake up from it until after it gets too bad. You know, before that, I remember I was waking up way too much. And I can even see it on the graph on the sleep aid. Like those moments that I'm out, I'm out. Like it says I'm in deep sleep. Now I'm trying to increase that shit, man, because last night I actually slept pretty good. Here's another thing. Fucking, I can't eat bread. That's another thing I found out. Well, it's not that I found out, man. I've always known that I can't eat bread too much because I don't think I'm allergic, like I have celiac disease, but I am one of those people. I think if I eat baked products, especially stuff like bread that has gluten in it, my inflammation goes up. And when my inflammation goes up, all of a sudden, that pinched nerve starts tingling, even throughout the day when I'm not sleeping and stuff. And over the last month, I've been eating a lot of gluten. I've been making a lot of like wraps. I've been eating healthy, so I've been making a lot of wraps. They're very convenient instead of like making salads and rolling around with salad bowls. But nope, now I have to give up the wraps, man. So I gave them up. I'm on day three now of staying away from gluten, and I feel great. It's crazy that a lot of that inflammation and that pain that's coming from that can be mitigated with diet. I don't know that many doctors that will actually tell you to change your diet to mitigate things, you know? And I think that what's important is you got to really try to find out what is it that your body likes and what your body doesn't like and try to hone in on that and figure it out. The problem is, man, bread is so good, I just forget. I forget. I'm literally like, I'll have another hamburger, whatever. Next thing you know, I'm eating hamburgers every day for a fucking month and I'm wondering why I can't sleep good, you know? So I'm trying to see where this is going to go. You know, I'm really trying to figure it out. But the sleep is very important to me. I am going to the doctor next week, finally set up an appointment with the spine doctor. And he's going to go in and jab a needle in my spine, which is kind of scary. And I guess he's going to give me a cortisone shot onto that nerve, hopefully shutting it down for a long time. And hopefully I can really sleep good. Because yesterday my day was fucked, man. I slept the normal 5 hours that I normally sleep, but I woke up and I could tell I wasn't really sleeping. And it was completely fucked. Like yesterday was like I was so brain dead. Like I couldn't even like do the mundane tasks that I had to do. And then last night, you know, like I ate good. I made sure I tried to take care. I reduced the gluten. Slept pretty fucking good last night compared to the few nights before that. And today I wake up, it's like I'm a totally fucking different person. Like just doing stuff in the kitchen was not a problem. Yesterday, I was like stressing out. Not, you know, not stressing out. It's kind of like I knew I had to put something in the dishwasher. And I looked at it, and it was just exhausting to think about. Just to even think about going and putting that thing in the dishwasher was just like, I can't handle it. And I don't know, man. Sleep is very important to me, you know, because I'm trying to accomplish a lot, you know, in my days. And I'm not one of those people that can function without sleep. Even if you give me like a anti-sleep pill, like anything, they're supposed to like make you wake up. Just doesn't work. Sure, I'll be like awoke, right? I'll like, ooh, I'll be awake, but my brain is dead. My brain just ain't even firing on all cylinders. So, yeah, sleep is very important. But you know what else is very important? My balls. Man, do I care about my nuts? And melatonin shrinks your nuts, bro. I heard that from the Huberman podcast. If you guys are really into like nerding out about health, Huberman podcast is amazing, man. I'm learning a lot from that. Jason Bacon says, sleeping on my back has helped me a lot. I sleep better, feel better, and stand better. Damn. That must have been hard, though. Hasn't it, Jason? Like, are you naturally a side sleeper? You know, are you naturally a side sleeper? Because I am. I think the hard thing is that how do you sleep on your back and then not sleep on your side in the middle of the night? Right? Because for me, I'll like, you know, I'm afraid I'll just sleep on my back and then halfway in the middle of the night while I'm sleeping, I'll just end up sleeping on my side. Maybe I should get a weighted blanket. I heard weighted blankets are really good. I can't believe I got to like deploy all these tactics now to sleep better. Stop eating bread. Take these specific supplements. Make my lights red. Fucking weighted blanket. Turn the AC down to negative 50. Black out my windows. Bro, if that's not a sign of me getting old, I don't know what is, bro. Bolty. Remember when we was in the Marine Corps? Man, I used an M16 as a pillow. I'd be sleeping in the back of a light armored vehicle, bouncing around the shift of desert, using my toolbox, which is dented the fuck up because it gets tossed around that vehicle, using that as a pillow, sleeping like a motherfucking baby. And now I'm at this age and shit, and if I don't get magnesium in my system, I'm fucked. Here's another thing that's scary is I haven't gotten to the point where I'm like pissing myself as an old man yet. I keep hearing those like ridiculous stories of like guys waking up 3 times a night, some old dudes like, oh no, like their dick literally tells them, dude, I gotta take a piss. And then they go to the bathroom and like nothing happens. It just keeps dripping. And then they gotta go back to sleep and then it happens again. I haven't reached that yet. But guess what? I already got a slew of other fucking problems, bruh. Old as fuck. So Jason Bacon says, naturally, I was a stomach and a side sleeper, though I don't move much, if at all, in my sleep. Another good thing is using a pillow or something under your knees while sleeping. It stretches your back out. Yeah, that is a thing that Arabs do, especially people in Indonesia. There are these pillows that they use, especially in Indonesia. They look like a cylinder, right? It looks like a big fat dick. It's just like a big fat cack kind of a pillow. They have that all throughout Indonesia. And yeah, you would sleep on your side. And then you would grip that pillow with both your arms and between your legs. And sure enough, yeah, that's what exactly what it does. It like straightens out your back. But how do I keep fucking sleeping on my back? That's the thing, man. You know, it's game over, bro. It's fucking game over. I got to go to the doctor and he's got to inject shit in my neck now so I can sleep. Piece of shit. Anyways, well. Guys, thanks for tuning in, man. I appreciate it. Next week, I'm hoping that I'll have a better outline for the show. Like I said, writing this TV show right now, it's kind of taken up a lot of my time. On top of that, not sleeping well. So it's really hard to multitask. So this TV pitch has been taking a lot of my mindset. Wish me good luck. I hope we can actually make a deal and sell this thing and get it made and have the Ed and Mo Show universe live on. And, you know, also looking forward to writing this movie with Mike Pattaya. Like I said, we're halfway through the second draft. So, you know, things are moving along. I'm trying to reel it all in, you know, because there's a lot to reel in, you know. But I'm figuring it the fuck out. I am. Also, virtual assistant. I know if I told you guys this before, but yo, man, if you guys get busy, man, you guys got to look into the virtual assistant. Also, the book from Tim Ferriss, The 4-Hour Work Week. That was a really good book. You might have heard me say that on this podcast before. 4-Hour Work Week, amazing book to read. We'll kind of give you an idea how to streamline and automate your life. And right now, I'm doing the virtual assistant, and I have her doing a bunch of couple things for me, which is great. And now I'm training her to run my comedy calendar. And then I'm hoping to train her to reach out to bookers for me. So who knows, man? We shall see. Jason says, check your IG messages about your clip question. Last time you said to check my IG, man, and I didn't see anything. Jason Bacon. I love that your last name is Bacon, man. I fucking love Bacon. Bacon. I don't see anything, bro. I don't know what IG you're sending it to, but I don't see anything from you, man. Send it again. Okay, I got to get going. I'll be tonight. Well, it doesn't matter. None of you are in California. I shouldn't be giving my show dates yet anymore until I get the audio podcast caught up. And I think by next week or by 2 weeks, the solo podcast will be caught up and we'll be good to go. All right, guys, until next week, I love you. Take care of yourselves. Deuces.
Public Yemeni number one.